Fly me to the moon. Let me play among the stars. And let me see what spring is like on Jupiter and Mars. In other words, fly me to the moon. Let me play among the stars. And let me see what spring is like on Jupiter and Mars. In other words, fly me to the moon. Let me play among the stars. And let me see what spring is like on Jupiter and Mars. In other words,
are we in a weird economy? That's what many people is suggesting, and we are going to talk about that because that is important. I mean, it's affecting, the economy is affecting everything that we do, not only in the at the personal level, but also at the company level. Logistics and supply chain, I mean, it is affected by all the economic changes in every single country. At the same time, I mean, any political change is also affecting everything related with the international trade. So we are hoping that we are going to have a nice conversation around those topics. And something that is key and very important is the hidden fees. It's something that called my attention all the time. But anyway, we are going to go through it and we are going to talk about it, and hopefully we are going to have some good ideas, and more importantly, to understand why is that and how we can counter those hidden fees. This is Coffee Break Logistics and Supply Chain. Good morning from Southern California. It is 10 a.m. here in the Pacific side of the United States. And I'm going to invite my dear friend and co-host, Benita Lee, to have a coffee with me today. So let's welcome Benita. Good morning. Let's try one more time. There you go. Now we are in sync.
Good morning from Calgary, Alberta, where we just had the Calgary Stampede, which is like apparently the biggest outdoor show on earth.
Mm-hmm.
I think I have a stampede hangover just from the noise of the 11 days of fun. But if you're here, tell us where you're from. Where are you signing in from? It's gorgeous in Calgary today. Let us know where you're from.
So it's always like that. I mean, for 2 days or 3 days or what is
Yeah, we get about 10 days of sunny weather. I can only say that 10 days a year, so I really capitalize on it.
Okay, that's definitely a good thing to do.
We have Tim Vickers from Chicago, the Windy City.
Hello, Tim. Nice to have you around. And also we have Mariana, Colombia.
Oh, nice.
That's from our friends in Merck's in South Florida, Cape Cod. Cool.
Thanks for joining us, Viviana. Mariana.
So, I would assume that this is a topic that you would like to engage very easily, especially the one about the
hidden fees. Yeah, like as soon as you said hidden fees, mm-hmm. I got mad inside. Hidden fees really tick me off.
Yeah, well, I mean, it is good. Let's start from the top side. I mean, and talk about if we are in a weird economy, like many people is suggesting, right?
And yeah, I've never seen it.
No,
I don't think in my lifetime I've seen it. Maybe it was happening like with when I was 4 years old, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, I mean, and definitely it's something that we haven't seen before. And it's very awkward, right? Because now, let me start with this, because talking with some friends of mine, they are not from the United States. They were visiting the United States. So they have a different point of view, which is always important, right? Because I have to recognize that in many occasions when we are, I mean, here in America, when we talk about issues, we talk about like it's only the United States and there's nothing else.
Right.
And we tend to portray the conversations like it's here and no one else is experiencing anything like it. So, I mean, all the time that I have the opportunity to have a conversation with folks coming from different countries where they have different sources of information and they have a different perception about what is the global situation, the global economy, the global politics side. It's always important to listen to that, right? Now, we were talking about the economy, of course, and something that they point out, not only one, but probably more than one person, is that we as a human being, we have the tendency to complain and we stuck on the complaints or the things that we don't like, but,
right.
But we don't recognize everything, the good things that are happening around us. And I said, oh, that's a good point, because when we are talking about the economy, everyone is saying about the inflation and so on and so forth and the pricing, but there are so many good things that are happening at the same time. And it seems to be that because we like to complain, we stay on the complaint side. And basically we are erasing or removing every positive thing that is happening. And I don't know, what do you think about that?
Well, I just shared my major complaint just now. And I agree with you that newcomers can have a way different perspective than us, and it can make us grateful to listen to them. But mine is that, you know, housing is so unaffordable. Like, I know so many people that have had to move back in with their parents because housing is so unaffordable.
Yeah, I don't know if this is a good or bad thing, right? I mean, and that is another good point. I mean, based on what side of the table you are, then you have an opinion about the present times, right? Now, when you say, for example, I mean, is housing. Yeah, housing is on the high side. Is that a bad thing or is it a good thing?
Well, you're right. So like if you own, then it's a good thing. But I mean, if you sell, then you're in a place where you have to buy in a high market. So I don't know if that really helps anyone.
Yeah, because I mean, let's say if you're going to be shopping for a house, then basically you say, you know what, I mean, everything is too expensive. The situation is terrible. But if you are in the real estate business, then your opinion is going to be a little bit different.
Right.
You have multiple different properties and your source of income is coming from the real estate, then you must be very happy about that. Now, I mean, let's say, for example, that the indicators and the trends are weird, unfortunately, or fortunately, because I'm going from what on a regular basis we hear from here in the United States, right? Maybe in Canada, where you are, is something different. But we hear complaints on a regular basis. We hear complaints about people and companies. Oh, everything is too expensive. Gas is too high. Everything is bad about the economy. But the indicators show something different, which make it a little bit weird, right? One is the voice of the customer, which is basically the regular population. And then the indicators show something different, which is not matching completely, right? Because if I said, I mean, that everything is expensive, but some companies are doing very well, then I don't know. I mean, we need to be able to understand what's going on and how to counter those particular situations, because not everything is bad, right? And you know that I like numbers all the time, right?
Yeah, let's share some with us.
For example, in the American economy, despite the fact that yes, everything is bad, like many people like to say it, right? 339,000 jobs, or let's say that on average, I mean, the 300,000 jobs are being added to the economy every single month lately, right? So you may believe that if the economy is terrible and you keep adding jobs to the economy, those things are not matching very well, right? Now, it's very well known that in our industry, logistics and supply chain, there's like an upset of an imbalance, I'm sorry, that we are looking for almost for a million, to cover a million positions, a million openings that we have in this particular industry. Is that bad? No, definitely it's not. Now, do we have the talent, the right talent for those positions? That's probably the question, right? But in this particular economy where we are always adding jobs to the economy, I don't think that it would be a right statement to say that we are in the most terrible situation from the economic standpoint. So that's one, right? I mean, that's one indicator. I mean, adding jobs is not matching probably what the people say, that the economy is on the toughest side of that we have seen before. So,
I mean, just because you have a job doesn't mean that you can afford anything.
Yeah, I like that. But who to blame? You or the economy?
Well, it's not about laying blame, but we want to be cognizant that you could have like a minimum wage job in this economy, and with rising prices, everything becomes unaffordable and it doesn't match your pay scale, right?
Right. Yeah. And I always come to this point when we are talking about adding value, if your wage is XYZ, then that is comparable to the adding value that you are performing at that time, right? Let's say, for example, that you are a top CEO for any given company and you are making the results that you need or you were hired for, then basically your wages are going to be completely different than a person that is not adding that tremendous value to the company, right? I don't know.
That's another conversation, because, I mean, we could argue that the janitor and the CEO do the same amount of work.
Right. But it would be completely fair that, let's say, your skills, your education, your experience, it goes up here, and then the janitor. I mean, I'm not saying that one is better than the other one. What I'm saying is the contribution that you make is significant.
Different. Ideally.
Mm-hmm. Then the compensation have to go along with those lines, right? You can ignore that. It would be very, like, what is that? Cuba, for example, that you find a physician that basically is making a minimum wage. That's not, why is that, right? I mean, it makes no sense whatsoever. So based on your experience, education, and contribution, I mean, it should be completely different pay scale. So yeah, that's probably a different conversation. Now, let me throw out this number. The unemployment rate here in the United States, I mean, 50 years low. So that is significant indicator when we are talking about the economy is bad. I mean, if the unemployment rate is too low.
We never hear that conversation.
I'm sorry?
We don't hear that conversation.
Yeah.
Lately, I haven't heard anything about the unemployment rate.
Yeah, the unemployment rate, I mean, is probably the lowest that we have seen, I mean, for 50 years. No one is talking about that, but that's something that is completely, I mean, definitely very important. I mean, just to back up the comment about that the economy is, we are struggling and blah, bada bing, bada bang, right? So that's not matching, I mean, one and the other. Let's talk about the logistics and the supply chain. The cost of the logistics and supply chain has going down. I mean, it's not compatible, I mean, with the pricing that we see during COVID-19, right? Now, if those prices are going to where they were before, and even in some cases, I mean, they were lower than even before COVID, then that means that probably the economy is performing in a different way than a bad economy, right?
Right, Varianna makes a good point that although inflation has taken place, people's salaries have not increased across the board, and there's a gap. I mean, there's lots to say about that, and that we see in the world today, like the East or West Coast port workers strike, and even the actors in Hollywood. You know.
Now, it's just my opinion, right? And no one is going to like to hear this, but everyone is trying to make their buck that they have the opportunity, right? Happened to be that, how many times we have a strike in Canada, by the way? Not very often, right?
No, when it's port workers or rail or, you know, truckers, it can cause quite a disruption.
Now, when we see that the companies, let's say, for example, the steamship lines, that they make a ton of money during the COVID-19, probably everyone is just trying to connect to that opportunity and be able to make that buck for them, right? Now, when we have the situation here in recently with in the Port of LA and Port of Long Beach, I mean, I am part of the industry. I love this particular industry, but I know that not everything works well. And those particular ports are the ones that are leading in terms of volume. But I don't like what's going on, because it's always putting pressure in order to force the BCOs and the regular people around that industry to suffer with the uncertainty if they are going to go on a strike or not. And when we are talking about wages, man, many people would like to be working at the port making all these wages. The earnings are something very respectable. And don't get me wrong, they have an important job, no question about it. They are very skilled, no question about it. That's perfect. But complaining about making the money that they are making, come on. come on. I don't know, it's always that and the unions and so on and so forth. I mean, this is very, very complicated topic, by the way. It's not as clear as it sounds, all right?
Right.
Now, for example, what happened in Canada, in the port of Vancouver, right? How many times they go on a strike, for example? I don't know if you have that information.
I don't remember in recent history.
And do you think that they went on a strike because it's something fair that they are claiming?
Yeah, I think that they have fair assessments. I mean, if you saw your employer making all sorts of money during the pandemic, you would expect to share a piece of the pie, right? If your employer wins, then you should see a trickle-down effect on your paycheck.
Yeah, well, I don't agree 100% on that, but it's is a very tough conversation, because why have to be like that all the time?
Because if you don't have it like that, then the gap between the rich and the poor becomes wider and wider, right?
Yeah, but that, I mean, we can take it of that gap, right? So
no.
Just throw an example. I mean, let's say that my neighbor is making $5 million and I make it the minimum wage. So is his fault? He needs to come to my house and give me all the extra that he's getting, or?
No, but unless you work for him, if you work for him, then yeah, there should be some.
Yeah, but okay, let's say that I'm working for him, but his contribution, it got to be completely different than the contribution that I'm making, right?
True.
Now, I'm going to be in the position that when he's going to be performing bad, then I have to go back to him and say, you know what, I have this much and you are not very well, so I'm going to give you this back. I don't think that happens.
Well, it should, maybe.
So it is a tough conversation, a question about it, but it's not that I am in favor or against something. It's just that it has to be fair, right? It's not.
Yeah, no. Yeah. I think they're fighting for fair wage, right? They're not saying it's not an unreasonable ask, I don't think.
Yeah, it's like in families, right? I mean, I'm talking about a regular topic in families. Let's say that you plan your vacation and you go to Europe. And then someone in the family is not doing well and is complaining because you are going to Europe instead of helping that family member. So, yes, that family member can be helped, but I still are going to take my vacation. Why not? Is there anything wrong with that?
I fail to see the connection.
Yeah, it's because it's like a not being okay when somebody else is doing fine and I'm not doing fine. So in this particular case, if they went on a strike, is because it's an opportunity just to be able to gain something. I don't think that the wages for the poor in Vancouver are terrible and they are mistreated or anything like that. It's because it's an opportunity to gain more, because all the disruption that we have seen in different.
Yeah. Just a little sidebar. What I find interesting is that the Actors Guild and, mm-hmm. you know, the Writers Guild in Hollywood and the port workers in Vancouver and Prince Rupert, they're both worried about automation and AI and fair wage. So I find that very interesting.
Yeah, and for example, I mean, talking about the actors and the writers, right? I know for a fact that people in that industry, I mean, they have very good earnings. And are you willing to go on a strike? Come on.
I think the really big celebrities have, you know, like good wages, but there's like some actors that had to take like part-time jobs, you know, serving coffee or whatever, or in restaurants while they're acting on a TV show, right? So there's like many levels.
Yeah. And the other thing is that, I mean, the few rare cases that they have to struggle, that's probably one of the main reasons, right? It's like when you see all these anchors from those the news media, right? I mean, they earn, I mean, a couple of $1 million every single year, and they lose or they are being fired or whatever, and they express that they are now in trouble. Well, they are not doing the right administration of the earnings that they are being getting. Someone that is making a couple of $1 million, or let's say even $1 million or less than $1 million, I mean, it needs to, I don't know, the conversation is not that.
What we can agree on is that inflation affects everybody.
That is correct. And I saw that from, I believe that it was Mariana that mentioned that. I mean, it's affecting
everybody. Yeah, yeah.
which is completely normal, is how we are going to be able to counter those things, right? So continue on the numbers. For example, I mean, we were talking about at the beginning about the real estate. In this particular time, construction has doubled since 2022.
Oh, wow.
So it's a high demand. Therefore, the prices are going to be on the high side as well.
Right.
But can you imagine? I mean, because the real estate is on the top level, then the amount of opportunities that is creating for the base, let's say the regular wages and so on and so forth. So the benefit is extremely high for multiple different people. So the fact that for someone that is looking for a house that probably can't afford at this particular time because it's too expensive, but we need to look the other side. The benefits for all the jobs that is being created, the industry is being created. So it is.
Yeah, there's some levers and gauges that are all throughout each of the industries and in the whole system that, you know, all you got to do is be patient and wait for your time.
Right, right. And then basically be able to pivot, right? Because let's say that the situation is one specific. Then you need, instead of pushing the wrong way, basically you need to see the opportunities that that particular economic season is presenting in front of you, right?
Yeah.
Now, let's say, for example, we are talking about those indicators that are weird in a way, right? Because we said that the economy is not so good around the world, but if we see, for example, companies here in the United States that they are reshoring and exploring different markets instead of getting everything from China, right?
China may be
expecting a slowdown on orders.
Right.
But the benefit is for some other countries that they haven't experienced that, where the labor is cheaper. And like India, Vietnam, Mexico, they are getting more jobs openings. Why? Because companies are moving the production to all these countries. And here is probably one of the most important things that I read. China that has been affected by it because the production is not, I mean, let's say that we are going to throw a number. I mean, 100% of the production was coming from China. Now, let's say that they have reduced that like at 30%, if I'm not mistaken. So even China is outsourcing some of those productions to those countries that they can find better economical conditions. So they are doing something very smart. It's not only, I mean, yes, the GDP maybe is affected because they are not producing the same product and services that they were doing before, but to counter that, I mean, they are doing and exploring for the production that they need to run in the country. They go outside if they can buy at different price, lower prices, of course, and get the same benefit. So,
right. Well, speaking of China, and like to me, it reminds me that I saw on your profile recently that you were named a top voice of inventory management.
Yeah, that's
it. Tell us a little bit about that. Like, do we need more space in the US here, or are we at full capacity, or is there space to be?
And that is a very interesting topic as well. Now, for example,
because inventories are piling up, right?
Right. So Amazon made a decision early this year that they're going to stop the expansion in the warehouse. So in the industry, everyone was panicking. I said, oh, what's going on? I mean, the industry is going to go south and whatever. So okay. Basically, they changed. They adjust for the company. It wasn't just as a kind of measure that they are going to be preventing something that is going to be coming. No, they make a decision just for the company to slow down on the footprint growth.
Okay.
Meaning setting up warehousing and stuff like that. But the effect that caused is that for the 3POs. The rest of the 3POs, it was a nice opportunity because Amazon reduction means an increase in every single market here in the United States. The market is always behind, and there's not enough space in the warehouses. So even though that they are being built new warehouses, it still is not up to the market and demand that is required here in the United States. So it still is the same. There's a lot of inventories around across the country where they need a space. Yes, BCOs are looking for cheaper ways to store the goods. And that's the reason why in many cases, they are willing to move from probably, let's say one of the more expensive markets is California. They want to move to, let's say, Nevada, Texas, or so on and so forth. Somewhere else that they can pay less from the storage standpoint. So it is an opportunity for everyone, that's for sure.
Right. Yeah, so, that's interesting.
Yeah, so that indicator that even the Wall Street, was trying to drive when we hear that Amazon was stopped the growing in terms of warehousing, it happened to be that it was a good thing for the industry. So,
cool. Yeah, that's another great point.
Now,
what about hidden fees? Are we getting to that? Or you still got some numbers?
No, I have some few numbers, but yes, we are getting to the hidden fees. I see that you have a lot to talk about that.
I'm eager to learn. Where could these hidden fees be?
Oh my God. So before we're going to get there, talking about those indicators and trends that are weird. Now, here in the United States, for as far as I remember, the gas pricing in summertime always go high.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this particular year happened to be that the gas pricing has decreased.
That's good.
So is the economy bad? I don't know. People have to tell me what they have experienced or what they see, but not everything is bad, that's for sure.
I don't know. I think that might be partly due to the fact that more and more people are getting electric vehicles and they don't need gas, right? So that could be part of it.
Absolutely. Yeah, that is a good point. Definitely.
And then
that
there's
is
like government subsidies.
Mm-hmm. Now, and I don't know if you can experience that, but everywhere you go, let's say that any city that you are in here in the United States, if you go to a restaurant one night, it's going to be packed, right?
Yeah.
If you go to a show, a game, anything, it's always packed. If it is absolutely true that the economy is bad, you won't see that.
That's true. Yeah, that's a good point. Why is everybody's? I think part of that is, we've been holed up for so long, and so that any opportunity people can get to go out and socialize, they're going to take it because the pandemic had been called off just months ago, right? So everyone's making their way out again. So I think some of it is due to that.
Right. Now, I was watching this particular channel from Germany, where they were talking about the Deutsche Welle, right? The amount of tourists that they are in Europe, everything is booked, hotels, everything is booked for this summer. Is that a bad economy? I don't know. Something must be happening, right? But not everything is bad.
Well, the Europeans, they're not like Americans. Europeans take vacations, and they don't feel bad about it. Take some vacation.
Yeah, vacation in Europe is something that is serious.
Yes, it's not like something to be like, you have to take it. It's like, it's as normal as sleeping and breathing, I think.
Yeah. And some reporting shows that in Europe, the consumer spending, it has decreased a little bit, And the argument that they have is that probably is the cost of energy because the war between Ukraine and Russia, right? So, but still everything is completely packed. And I have spoken with a few friends that I have in the industry in Europe. Everyone is going on vacation.
At the same time, right?
At the same time. And they don't, yeah. And they go overseas. They don't stay local. So the economy is not that bad anyway.
In my opinion. Do, you know, the euro is worth more than a Canuck bucks, so. Though.
Now, based on the comment that we hear at the beginning, where we said that inflation is affecting everyone and every single company, that's absolutely true. Now, for the supply chain professionals, basically, that's what we need to do. We need to adapt, and we have to use one great opportunity is to be flexible, right? Now, from the personal standpoint, it works exactly the same thing. So we need to understand what is happening and be able to adapt and be flexible and be able to take advantage of whatever is going to be the situation. That's definitely for sure something that we need to do. Now, let's talk about the hidden fees.
Yeah, okay. So you mentioned that they can be found in logistics and supply chain costs. Like, are you talking, like, the first ones I think of is like the demurrage and the waiting costs.
Right. Now, here is something that, and I'm going to start with the personal, at the personal level. So just to,
well, banks.
Yeah, I was, for example, I mean, it was a topic, I mean, for the White House recently, where they are trying to have that, let's say, to control that, right? Because unfortunately, I'm in agreement with this. The business model for a company cannot be based on those hidden fees.
Absolutely, like
that's not a right business model. But happen to be, and let me share something that I hear from many years back, talking someone that a superior for the company that I used to work for, and when the company wasn't performing well, the idea was, okay, let's come out with a new fee that we can bring some revenue to the company. And that is something that is being done on a regular basis, and people bank on that. Many companies being created in order to be able to come out with additional fee in order to increase the revenue for the company. Is that something that we should be doing?
That makes me mad.
Yeah.
Like, if you're bringing something out with more value that has a fee, fine. But yeah, like, you're just developing a fee so that you're like padding your coffers. Not cool.
Yeah.
Like, government, right? Like, in Canada, you know, my paycheck and a normal person's paycheck gets taxed like 36% to 40%. Like, yeah. you're giving like almost half of your income to the government.
Yeah. Now, I have an opinion about the taxes and the government, right? And it's very simple. I mean, the golden goose.
A different country.
No, the golden goose, which is the government, right? I mean, for the golden goose to be able to lay a golden egg, okay, then they need to be fed with something. So taxes are good. I don't see tax as a bad thing, right? Because for the company, the government to be able to work for you, to have these highways, beautiful highways, and
right, water, healthcare,
and everything, the money has to come from somewhere, right? So right. I don't know. I'm not opposed to feed the golden goose. That's for sure. It has to be something that makes sense. Yes. We need to receive the benefit of that. Yes. 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 Yes to all these questions. So I don't see any problem with that. Definitely not. So you like
what,
to.
What hidden fees should we look out for when we're buying and procuring freight and logistics?
Well, I mean, there's a tons of different hidden fees.
Yeah, like I want to. They're so well hidden that I don't even know what they are.
And you know what? I mean, I shouldn't be talking about this because otherwise, I mean, I'm gonna have some friends that are gonna hit me with something.
People want to know, though. You brought it up.
So let me start with a soft note, and then we are gonna move forward to that. So I took some examples, right? I mean, when you pay for a hotel, when you pay for a
right.
show, right? So
there's nothing more that kills me than a resort fee. That pisses me off.
So recently, I mean, MSNBC, they were talking about, I mean, the hidden fees, and they were sharing with the public that about $65 billion are being paid annually in all these kind of hidden fees. That's an amount that is incredible, right? Now, let's say that some of these fees make sense, some others they don't make any sense. But
that's a huge industry.
Yeah, I mean, creating fees, it should be probably the most beneficial. I mean, you can set up a corporation just to create additional fees for different industries, and you're going to make a lot of money, right? If we are talking about the hospitality industry, right? Resort fees, I mean, you mentioned that. What is that? I mean, if you book a room, you should be, the amount that you pay for that, it should be the whole amount that you're going to pay for that. But no, in this statement, you're going to find resort fees, parking fees, early check-in, late check-out, room service, minibar, spa, resort fees. What is all this? I mean, why we make that complicated? I don't know if this is an American style, but you find this in multiple different countries like that, right? And you don't have a way to escape from those because you need to use the service. You are going to be traveling. You need to use a hotel. Then basically you said, okay, you know what? I mean, I don't have any other option. Then I'm going to pay for that because there's no way to say it, right? If we are talking about telecom, for example, the communications is something that always amazed me because I don't review the statement. If I see I have a plan, like it's a specific amount, and then I don't pay attention to anything else because it's a waste of time, right? So activation fees, roaming fees, data fees when you go over that, equipment, I don't know. Here in California, you see California, they have like acronyms for that, right? HPCF, I don't know what that means, but it's a fee for that. Now, these telecommunications companies, can you imagine? I mean, they have, let's say, 1 million users, and they charge in one of those made up fees, $1. It's $1 million that they are making every single month. That who knows if it's something that is valid or is not. Just a matter of, I mean, they include it in the bill. You are forced to pay that. And because it's $1, no one pays attention, right? So it's incredible, but that's something that is not fair with the consumers. So that is in that area. Now we are talking about the ad industry, right? Let's talk about the ocean car. Here in Southern California, we have pier pass fee, we have clean truck fee, we have congestion fee, we have you name it. I mean, all these fees that at the end of the day, no one is getting the benefit let's say, for example, the clean truck fee, when they start with that idea, which was very clever, I'm assuming that it's probably 10 years or even more than 10 years, that basically they are going to be supporting to all these trucking companies to upgrade the equipment, right?
Okay.
From let's say that it was for trucks older than, I don't know, Ian maybe knows this very well, I don't. So for those small trucking companies or any trucking company, I mean, just to upgrade the equipment. So that it was something like a very clever, I mean, just to clean the air and stuff like that. But when a fee comes, then it stays forever, even though that they have collected what they need to be collected for whatever purpose they are arguing. So, for example, I mean, the congestion fee, I know for a fact that that's a made-up fee for the trucking companies to justify that they are going to be sending the driver and the driver is going to stay there until the container is going to be released.
What's that one called?
Congestion fee.
Oh, okay, got it.
Now, I think congestion fee when there's no congestion at the port.
Oh, geez, right. That doesn't make sense.
So what I'm saying is, I mean, with all due respect, I mean, in the logistic and supply chain, I mean, those made up fees shouldn't be part of their regular business. Why? Yes, because you have an opportunity, as a company, you have an opportunity to make money. But is that sustainable? The answer is no. Is that the right approach? No.
Yeah. Not when your customer feels like they're being fed to death.
Yes. and it's a good reason, I mean, to have all these fees. I mean, from if you ask the CFO, maybe they said, yes, of course, because we are expanding, increasing our revenue. But hey, you know what? If you're not adding any value, then you shouldn't be adding all these fees, because this is a very lazy, very, very crafty to bring revenue to the company. Another fee in the industry that is very common that everyone pays for that, because here we assume that is reasonable and is part of the business, and because we've seen it for many years, then no one questioned that, is the famous document processing fee.
Oh, right.
So what is that? It's related to the preparation and processing documents? That's part of the job.
Right.
Right? It's like a, for example, I mean, if I'm going to take my car to the car wash, and then you want shampoo, import shampoo, or domestic shampoo, import water, domestic water. Come on, just wash the car.
Yeah. Document processing fee sounds like a company that's trying to find the money to pay salaries.
Right. Yes. Now, hazmat fee, right? If you are moving goods and they are hazmat, then you have a hazmat fee. Let's say that one makes a little sense, right? Because, yes, you have to be able, you have to be equipped in order to do that. You have to have certification. You have to have follow specific guidelines. And let's say that one is not that crazy, but hazmat fee is something that you are going to be able to find, I mean, many different times. Peak season fee. So
wow.
The congestion fee, on top of that, we are going to have peak season fee. Jesus Christ. Here in the United States, we have multiple different seasons that we can call peak season. Peak season is not only Black Friday. Peak season is not only the holiday, the Christmas season, but also we have back to school. And the whole economy is driven based on different seasons. Then basically any company can have the argument that because, oh, you know what, back to school, that's a peak season fee. Anyway, and complaining.
See, it makes you mad too. Hidden keys. Keys at all.
Now,
into the price.
Talking about the trucking company, residential delivery fee. So if you are located in a industrial area, then you don't have to pay that fee. But if you live in a community, then you have to pay for a residential delivery fee. Is that something that we should be justifying? I mean, I don't know. I really don't know. Insurance. Insurance is probably, you know what? I've been in multiple different organizations where they push the people to sell insurance. Why? Because it's easy revenue and it's a lot of amount of money that is coming to the company under this particular insurance that is being sold on top of the regular insurance for the goods and transactions. So insurance is seems to be that it's a good business, no question about it, right? Now, here is the funny part, right? I mean, let's say in the industry, we sell those insurances and people pay for that because they said, I prefer to be protected.
Right. Nobody understands it though.
Thank you. We need to understand what it means when you're going to buy the insurance, right? Because I'm not saying that this is the case, but let's say, for example, that you're paying your insurance car and, I want to be protected, of course. I have there's capital that is invested in that car, therefore I have to protect it, right? Let's say that a tree falls into the car, but you need to make sure to understand that you were saying, I mean, we need to understand what exactly we are buying, because that little wording that they have in multiple different policies is have to be very specific. If a tree falls into your car, then we are gonna make effective this policy if it's a pine. Any other tree different than a pine is not covered, no, it's not included in that policy. I'm making a little bit exaggeration here, but that's exactly right. I mean, there are so many different exceptions that because you are buying an insurance, it doesn't mean that you're gonna be 100% covered for every given situation. So we need to understand what we are buying when we sign for that. And it's an easy way to sell an insurance because we always said, I mean, you know what? I mean, for the value of the goods, it's a little fraction of that. So no one pays attention to that because you know what? I mean, it's only $50 comparable to the cost of the goods that is, let's say, $100,000, for example, right? So no one pays attention. But this is a fee that basically is, man, sometimes get me upset, but it is what it is. So you were mentioning about the detention charges. I mean, that's part of the business as well. Now, if it's something that is extremely high, then that it would be probably a very good reason to charge for that. Well, detention charges are probably, I'm okay with those because honestly, someone have to pay the labor for the person that is doing that transaction, right? Now, if the standard for that transaction is 2 hours, let's say, and then this person spends 8 hours, who's gonna pay the other 6 hours, right? So let's say that makes sense that someone have to cover those. I don't know, what do you think?
I don't know. That talk about insurance almost put me to sleep. Now I know why people just pay it and they don't bother.
And there's another very common charge that we see all the time in those invoices, accessorial charges.
Right.
So it's supposed to be those charges are beyond the standard agreement, right?
Yeah, what do they actually mean though? Because like, they're called accessorial charges. And I'm like, I don't see no accessories. What do I get?
So basically it's when you have, I mean, when the service provided is beyond the standard agreement, let's say that you agree to deliver from Southern California to downtown LA, for example. And then let's say that the driver have to drive around a couple of blocks in order to find a parking, and then they have to use a lift gate to be able to lower down the pallet that they need to deliver. They have to use pallet jack. They have to walk like, let's say, four blocks in order to be able to deliver that. Or the customer that you are delivering those goods to, they don't have a loading dock, so they have to use the lift gate and so on and so forth. So what I'm saying is that in that accessorial fees, there are so many different things that you may not agree to it, but because, again, it's a few dollars, then people don't pay attention. There's extremely high qualified people that they audit the invoices and they discover all these things.
Right.
They push back, and then basically companies have to adjust those invoices.
Yeah, I did that at one point.
And it's a profit center. I mean, if every single company pay attention to that, you're going to discover that you can recover a lot of money in those transactions.
Absolutely. John Y. Ford sums it up pretty well when he says, when you break it down, a major factor in our weird economy is culturally biased. People want to make easy money with the least amount of work as possible. Yeah, like I think some of it, a large part of it is, you know, where you live.
Right. And John, you're always right. And this is right on point as well.
Mm-hmm.
Easy money is very attractive to everyone. Providing a service and saying that you are doing this, at the end of the day, you are not doing anything, you are not adding value. I mean, people feel, companies and people, I mean, they get comfortable getting their way and be able to keep accumulating revenue without adding any value. But that's not forever. Let me tell to companies and people that they are doing that. I mean, that's not sustainable. Sooner or later, that changes.
I see you have like a chart or something. Did you want to share that?
I think that we are almost at the top of the hour, and not because that is going to expand on the conversation. Yes, I have prepared a couple of graphs because it's showing a lot of information, but I don't think that is going to have the time to do that.
Okay.
Now, when we are talking about, I mean, the hidden fees, how we can overcome that and get the customer trust? What do you think that it would be a good recommendation for those companies or those people that are in the comfortable seat, just billing, charging for services that they are not performing, or something that they don't make sense, doesn't make sense?
I don't know. You know, administratively, those fees are causing a lot of work. And, you know, maybe if you'd be more efficient in your pricing structure, you wouldn't need to hire people to chase fees.
Right, right. Yeah. From the customer standpoint, I mean, this is a recommendation for the companies, which is not very bright, but is very basic. John said something very, very, very accurate. Transparency is something is key, right? No question about it.
Yeah, but that's the whole point. Like in the hospitality scenario, John, I don't want transparency when it comes to a resort fee. Just charge me the price. Don't tell me I'm paying for a resort fee.
You book a room in a resort and they charge you for a resort fee on top of the regular rate.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for someone that have seen my reaction, it's a client frustration. You get frustrated, and that's the number one thing that you should be away from is to, I mean, get the confidence from your clients. I mean, if you are going to upset your clients and the client is going to be frustrated with you because it's dealing with you and the way that you charge for the services, that's, you are completely against servicing a customer, adding value to your customers and stuff like that. And that customer soon enough is going to be gone away. Now, for the companies that are using multiple different services, you need to monitor economic indicator, be able, to learn and be on top of what the industry is doing. And for example, when we are talking about the fees, it is, when they see a congestion fee, is that accurate? I always question that, and I am from this industry. When I have to buy services to my colleagues, I said, wait a second, are you charging me a congestion fee? Why is that? I always ask the question, what is happening in Savannah, Georgia that is creating this fee? Oh, because this and that. I fight those fees when they make no sense whatsoever.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you better have drone footage at the time that you're charging me a congestion fee.
So a good recommendation for where a service provider or a company that is buying those services is just collaborate, find out more about, how the company do business and what is the structure base for the billing. I'm not saying that it's a bad intention. What I'm saying is that it's better when you are clear, right? If you understand the rules of the game, then when the time comes to pay an invoice, you don't have any problem because you agree to it and because you are 100% convinced that everything coming in that invoice is valid, right? So that's my general recommendation on that. Benita, do you have any final words?
No, that was a good show. I learned a lot. Thank you.
Well, I keep learning, and I keep learning from everyone, especially for the audience when they have those specific comments and suggestions.
Thank you so much, all of you, for coming today. We're next Friday, too.
Yep. Oh, by the way, we are going to have a company that I personally follow directly that is coming on the show by the end of August. So we are going to be announcing that. It's about technology, by the way. Technology is in my blood, not because I'm an expert, it's just because I like it and I use it. All right. Benita, as always, I appreciate your insight. I appreciate your presence. Thank you for being with us today in Coffee Break Logistics and Supply Chain. And as we know all the time, we are better together because we win together. So I'm hoping that we are going to be able to see you next Friday, 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time.
11 a.m. Mountain.
Ciao, ciao.